Tonight's creepy tale is from Reddit. This was posted about a year ago. A glitch in the Matrix. And it's very creepy. I hope you enjoy. About 100 miles out of San Antonio, I noticed the fuel gauge was dropping noticeably faster than usual, so I clicked the button to change the dashboard display, only to see the car was barely getting 26 miles per hour. At first I was shocked, but I reasoned it was possibly driving uphill the entire way. I still don't know. I thought throughout the course of an entire tank of fuel that it would eventually balance itself out and we would finish the tank with that 35 miles per hour range, but I was wrong. I kept a very detailed log of this entire trip and this one stop in Fort Stockton, Texas is the only anomaly in the entire book. The car, which had consistently held around 35 miles per gallon, suddenly finished an entire tank off at 25.8 miles per gallon. That is over a 100-mile difference in the vehicle's normal range. I still, to this day, cannot figure out why there was such a drastic shift in the fuel consumption in that 300-mile stretch from San Antonio. I've reflected on that tank of gas several times since this happened, and I have not came to any conclusion that it was an intentional glitch in order to make us pull over where we did, or maybe it was. Our original plan was to refuel about 50 miles later in a town that I cannot remember, but we obviously ran short on fuel anyway. With our GPS program to Las Vegas, Nevada, we headed back onto the road in which the GPS directed. Pretty soon after we got back on the road, we realized we were no longer on I-10 heading west. Instead, we were north on Highway 285. Here's a little information for some people. Evenly numbered highways and freeways are heading east-west, while odds are north-south. We didn't think much about being off the interstate because many times throughout the drive, we had been directed onto the bypass highways. We assumed this was just another such instance. After about an hour and a half of driving on Highway 285, we crossed into New Mexico, which was about 2 hours earlier than we should have crossed the border. By this time, we realized the GPS thought this was a more efficient way to go to Vegas. Even though, by all accounts, it is about an hour faster if we stayed on the 10. We were annoyed, but decided to just stick it out with the GPS and keep heading north through New Mexico. Nearly 5 hours after refueling in Fort Stockton, my brother and I were hungry and decided it was time to find somewhere to eat. Driving through this part of New Mexico is kind of lonely. There are very few towns, and where there are towns, they are small and on the verge of becoming ghosts. I think their economies are built around helping travelers fill up their gas tanks. Other than that, I cannot see a reason for them to even exist. My brother and I talked about what happened next so many times, but we still cannot figure it out. We passed through a small town with a couple of gas stations, and we know the town was named Vaughn, New Mexico. And then about 20 miles later, we drove through a town called Encino, New Mexico, which did not have a gas station that we can recall. In fact, the second town didn't really seem to have much of anything there. I wasn't sure if anyone was even living there. I seem to remember questioning why it existed in the first place, but then quickly dismissing it and driving right through. Not even 10 miles after passing through Encino, New Mexico, we surprisingly came upon a city town that wasn't loaded in the GPS. This wasn't a big deal because I was using a cheap handheld that lost its signal all the time, but usually the only things it didn't display were newly built roads and recent construction areas. This city was definitely not brand new, so I figured the GPS was just being buggy. The oddest part of finding the city, neither of us remember seeing any warning we were coming up on a town of this size. It had several fast food joints, restaurants, hotels, motels, grocery stores, and Albertsons maybe, and even some bars. If I were to guess, I would say the city was roughly 10 to 20K people. We decided to pull off and grab a bite to eat. Normally, we probably would have grabbed some fast food, but my brother saw Ruby Tuesdays and really wanted to try it out. There were a couple Ruby Tuesdays around the Portland area at the time, but neither of us had been there. We had just heard that they were pretty good, and they had a really good salad bar. And I guess my brother was in the mood for something other than fast food. I went along with the suggestion because I was sick of eating junk. Okay, for the rest of the story, I will be N and my brother will be G. We pulled into the Ruby Tuesdays parking lot, got out of the car, and walked into the restaurant. Immediately upon entering, a waitress who was milling around the hostess station says, "Oh my word, is that N and G?" Both my brother and I answered that it was indeed us, and the waitress went on to ask how our life was in Portland. Suddenly, it clicked. This girl knows who we are, but we are over 1,000 miles from our home. Did we know her from back home? My brother and I both gave very basic, vague answers to her question, and I could tell she was kind of unsettled that my brother and I were being evasive. When we were seated, my brother immediately asked me where we knew her from, which was the same question I was going to ask him. I told him I had no idea who she was, and that she obviously had mistaken us with some other people. Not more than a minute later, this guy bartender comes up and says, "No fucking way, G and N, you back for jobs?" "What?" My brother went on to tell the guy they had mistaken us with some other people. He laughed and dismissed my brother's response as a joke. The bartender continued on seamlessly and started asking us how we fared in the 3 months in anatomy and psychology course we had taken over at Oregon State. I remember thinking all of a sudden, this is not a coincidence anymore. My brother and I had taken a 3-month, 15-credit A&P class at Portland State University when we were in our early 20s. We were late 20s when this interaction happened. Finally, I asked the guy exactly where they knew us from, and he just kind of paused and started looking me over. Then he said, "Oh, damn, you guys just look really similar to some people that used to work here." He apologized and claimed he had to get back to work, After a bit, our food came, and my brother and I noticed they had switched out our waitresses from the girl who recognized us when we walked in. That wasn't a big deal, although a bit strange. Next, a guy who I can only guess was the manager starts walking over to our table with a big smile on his face. As he gets within about 10 feet of us, he kind of starts looking over my head and stops. I think someone behind me was directing him not to talk to us. After he received the message, he sharply turned 90 degrees and walked away without saying a word. This had quickly become the most awkward meal of our lives. It went from people acting like it was a celebration for us to have shown up to everyone avoiding eye contact with us at all cost. After we finished up with our meals, the waitress came and told us the cash registers were frozen and that our meal was on the house. I really wanted to ask the waitress what the name of the city was that we were in, but I also really wanted to get out of there. After leaving the restaurant, we were running low on gas, so I decided to refuel before we got back on the highway. I assumed the name of the city would be printed on the receipt. We were not that lucky. This city strip was a one-way road on the eastern side of the highway. We left Ruby Tuesdays. The only way was to turn right, and it headed straight back to northbound 285. In order to refuel, I would have had to head north on the one-way street and turn right on a side street to head back to the southern part of the town to the gas station. The only available right-hand turn of that one-way street was closed, so I was forced back into the southern part of the town to the gas station. And the only way was to turn off onto that street that was closed and onto the highway without fueling up. About 20 minutes later, we found a truck stop at an intersection of 285 and 140, where we finally filled up. The rest of the trip was very ordinary. We talked at length about how weird that Ruby Tuesdays was in the middle of New Mexico. We came up with solutions about how we had doppelgangers with the same names. We joked about how people that look similar follow the exact same paths in life, regardless of their upbringing. We talked ourselves into being a major coincidence. When we finally got back to Portland, we decided to do a little research and find out the name of this town. We know we refueled at the truck stop at the intersection of 285 and 140, which means that we had to have passed through Vaughn and Encino, so there would have been a city between the truck stop and Encino. I don't see anywhere on the regular map or the satellite map where this little city could possibly be. We have never been able to answer what happened on that day. I can still vividly remember the waitress's face of unease by the way my brother and I were behaving. The bartender's voice changed when I figured out we were not the people he thought we were, and thinking the manager looked identical to the actor Ken Marano. My brother and I know this stuff happened, but we have never been able to find out the solution. Maybe someone can give us an answer, or maybe this was just a glitch. Maybe someone has driven down that stretch of road and knows the town. Apparently, my brother and I worked at Ruby Tuesdays in the middle of New Mexico. This was the glitch in the Matrix.
Mm-hmm.